It sure is good to be here again today, and this is your last chapel. And so what you do is you usually save the dessert till last, but some save spinach till last. So we'll have to figure out which one this is, either dessert or spinach. Turn to the book of Matthew, please, chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. I can't pay attention to this watch because it won't stay right side up. But. So anyway, just raise your hand when it's quarter till, and that way I'll know about when to quit. Appreciate it very much, and because I may forget to look at that watch there. But anyway, Matthew chapter number 2, I want you to notice it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Verse 12, notice that. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their country another way." Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless for the next few minutes that we have here, and I pray that the things that the students hear and the things that I say would be a blessing and a help to our hearts, and that you would help us be faithful to you throughout the whole summer. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Now, you'll notice that the wise men, they came to Bethlehem, and then when they left, they were planning to go a different way, the way that they came, to go back the same way, but they had to take a detour. God told them to go back a different way. And I want to speak to you about detours today. Detours. Now, you're going to be leaving here in a day or two, most of you, and you'll be going home for the summer. And some of you will not be back next fall. Some of you will get backslidden away from God and quit school, quit serving God, and maybe be in sin before school starts. I pray that I'm wrong on that, but it's generally the case that some will, and I pray that you will be one of those that will be faithful to God, and that you'll be back in school next fall, and you'll be serving God, and just don't quit, just stay in the fight. Many spiritual lessons are learned from traveling. If any of you have traveled very much, you arrive at a crossroad, and you have to decide, well, am I going to go right? Am I going to go straight? Am I going to go left? You have to make a decision. You following a roadmap reminds us to go to the Bible, the Word of God, and find the direction that God wants us to go on. I like that saying that whenever you want to find God's will, you just do what God wants you to do right now. And throughout this day, do what God wants you to do. And if you do that each day as it comes, then you'll continually find yourself in the will of God. Highway of life can be straight and smooth most of the time, can be really great, can be wonderful. But there's also hills and there's rough spots and there's occasional detours in your life, and you don't look for those detours. They come unexpectedly, and things happen in your life that you weren't planning on, and we've all come to a sign that say, "Highway closed, follow the detour signs." And eventually, hopefully, you are brought back to the highway of the smooth surface again. Life is much like that. In life, perhaps for months or years, you may go along and everything is going wonderful and great, and then all of a sudden you come to a detour. Perhaps there's a sorrow, maybe a death in your family, perhaps loneliness You are lonely now, and maybe some people that were your friends are not your friends anymore. Perhaps an illness comes to your life, a detour in your life, an affliction, something, a disappointment that happens to you. And detours happen. Things that used to be going smooth, now they're not smooth anymore. Perhaps maybe a final that you didn't pass. Ooh, and now you've got that bump to cross. You've got to figure out how to get over that detour. I want to teach you some lessons about detours today. Detours always appear suddenly and without warning. You come upon those and, oh no, there's a detour. And we're not prepared usually with all the information that we'd like to have to fortify us for this detour that's coming along. It might be better for us not to know what's going to happen on the detour. If we did, then every part of the trip would be in anticipation of the negatives that's going to happen on your detour. So it's probably a good idea not to know. But one day you're perfectly well, and the next day you're sick and flat on your back. Good to not know that ahead of time, perhaps, or you would be anticipating that illness, that sickness. If God told me, he says, hey, Roger Bottrell, you're going to have a very, very bad disease in 6 months. Man, these next 6 months will be terrible for me. I'd be thinking about it all the time. It would mess up my service for the Lord and all of the things if I knew ahead of time what was going to happen. But one day, your home is intact. The next day, death has taken a loved one. And you didn't know that was going to happen, but it happened. And now you've got to deal with that. Seldom do you know the length of a detour. I've never come upon a detour that says, detour for the next 8 miles or the next 2 miles. It just says, detour, turn here. And so you, well, I got to turn there. So how long will you have to suffer on that detour? You don't know. How long is it going to last? You don't know. We hope that it'll be soon that you'll get over that detour and be back on smooth sailing, but sometimes not. Most detours are rough and they're winding. They're not as good as the road that you left. And I don't believe I've ever seen a good detour road. They're usually rough and terrible, and they take you out of your way. They cost you more gas money to get around them and all those things. And usually you have to travel slow and carefully. Take your time. Don't go too fast. And those kinds of things. A detour may have some good points on it, though. If you have a positive spirit and a positive mind, then you can find some good things, maybe some good scenery that you've never seen before. Say, oh, look at those hills. Boy, those are nice. Look at those animals. Boy, that man, look at those. There's some llamas over there. Or maybe you go by a herd of buffaloes. You know, some people raise a few buffaloes, and you can take a detour and find some good things happening. Sometimes it'll bring some of the best spiritual blessings that you'll ever have in your life if you're on a detour. I remember one time I took my family. We were in Arkansas. I was pastoring there in Pine Bluff, and most of my family had come to visit, and we all hopped in the car, and we drove over to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we were looking all around. I said, hey, let's see if we can find a place to go swimming. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't believe in going to swimming where all these other people are dressed three-fourths of their clothes off and so on. And so we don't go swimming like that, and we don't go to public beaches. And so we were trying to find a private place where we could go swimming. So we drove into this residential area that surrounded, went out into this lake. And we looked around and trying to find a place that we could go swimming. And we hadn't found a place. And we were driving back out of that cul-de-sac area. And there was a man walking up the road. And I still remember his name this day. His name is Steve Chandler. And I said, hey, well, let's ask that guy right there if he knows of a place where we can go swimming. So we pulled up, rolled down our window, and said, hey, and we explained the situation. He said, well, y'all can go swimming behind my house. There's nobody there. It's all private and everything. It's okay with me. And I said, well, wonderful. And he says, I'll show you where it is. And so we backed up a little ways and pulled in his driveway, and the kids all got out, everybody got out, and they went swimming. And I said, well, Mr. Chandler, what are you doing? Where were you going? He says, well, I just went down to the post office to mail a letter. And he didn't know that I was a Christian. He didn't know that I was a preacher. He didn't know anything about us at all other than what he just saw from what looking at us. And he says, and on the way back, I was looking up at the sky, and I said, God, if you're real, would you send somebody to tell me about you? Can you believe that? And I said, well, God answered your prayer. Sit down here on this pier. I'm going to go get my Bible. And I went to my car, got my Bible, and went back and sat down on the pier. And a few minutes later, Steve Chandler asked Jesus into his heart to be his personal Savior. Well, you know that this was all the way back about 1991, something like that. And I still remember the guy's name. Isn't it amazing? As bad a memory as I have, and I remember that. That's amazing. But Steve Chandler got saved, and that was kind of a detour. We were looking around trying to find some place to go swimming, and we found a place to go swimming. And on that detour, on that little route there, we found that fellow, Steve Chandler. A detour sometimes leads you to an appreciation of a good highway. A lot of times we don't appreciate. Do you know people that live down in Florida? They have no idea what a good, sunshiny, warm day, how to appreciate that. And boy, we have a good day here. I mean, good night. It's already in the middle of May, and we're freezing to death. Feels like winter already. I mean, we had enough winter. Lord, the winter's over. Let's have some warm weather up here up north. And I'm tired of the cold weather. But and we say, man, when we have a nice day, we say, boy, this is more like it. Man, this is nice. Man, and so you go outside and you just enjoy the warm weather. The dark days lead to an appreciation of the good days. I remember when I was in young in the pastorate, I went to youth camp and took all of our kids to youth camp, and they had me be a lifeguard for the boys at the youth camp, and all the boys, teenage boys, they thought, well, we're going to throw the lifeguard in the water. And I was out on the pier out there where the diving boards were, and about 20 boys got up on that pier, on that platform, and they all were going to throw me in the lake. And they succeeded, but after all of them went in two or three times themselves, they finally got me in. And I fought them and fought them and fought them, but they did prevail. But in the process, I got a really bad ear infection. Now, I don't know whether any of you have ever had a really bad ear infection, but it was so bad that my ear swelled shut. And I went to the doctor. Man, my head and my ear was throbbing. It was terribly painful. I couldn't even, you know, touch my ear. It was so painful. And the doctor said, well, your ear is infected, and what we got to do is we have to get some medicine in there. And the only way we can get medicine in there is put a wick in your ear, you know, like a candle wick. And so he got these pliers out that had curved ends on it, and he put a wick fastened to it so that he could put medicine on the wick and take it down into the ear. And he says, okay, lean your head sideways. And I did, and he goes, and pushes that thing in there, and he comes back and gets another bite and pushes it in there, and he comes back and gets another bite and pushes it in there, and he finally gets that wick down in my ear, and I had to sit in that chair 20 minutes before I could even stand up without fainting. It was awful. It was worse than having a baby. Now, I've never had a baby, but but I can imagine that it couldn't have been nearly that bad having a baby. So I remember, though, I tell you the truth, though, after he got done and they put the medicine on there and it started to take effect and my ear got well and it didn't ache anymore. It was a terrible detour going to that doctor to do that, but felt good afterwards. I remember a few years ago, I was painting the gymnasium in our church there in Lyons, New York, and I was up 22 feet on scaffolding. This ceiling here is probably about 16 feet, 18 feet, something like that. So it was higher than this ceiling, and I was had to move the scaffold to paint another section. And so I started to climb down off the scaffold, and I fell off backwards. And I landed on the concrete on my back. Broke my back in four places. Had a skull fracture and broke both wrists and so on. I was in a cast from my neck to my waist, and my both arms were in cast, and I looked terrible. But anyway, my wife thought that I was dead. She really did. I had a teenage boy helping me that day, and she called my son and said, I think Dad's going to die. And one of my sons, she called David. And so he drove all the way up to Rochester, New York. But they took me to to a grocery store, and had a helicopter land there, and then flew me to the hospital. They were rolling me in. I was kind of in and out of it, and they asked, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm all right," you know, and whatever. And they finally get me into the emergency room, and I kind of wake up a little bit. And there's a young man there that says, "Pastor Bottrell, what are you doing here?" Now, that guy's name was John Gara, was his name. And I said, he was backslidden. He was away from the Lord. And I said, I think God brought me here to help you to get straightened out with God. And then I passed out again. You know, I was in and out of it, but trying to witness to him, you know, and whatever. But you don't know the reason that God allows you to go through certain things. But whenever you go through a certain thing, then look for the blessings that God can bring your way. God will allow you to do great things for him, even in the midst of difficult times, if you'll look for the good things. Trouble, sorrow, affliction, they're never enjoyed. Who wants to be sick today? Nobody. Nobody does. Who wants to have a problem today? Nobody. But they do help us take full advantage of the good days when they do come. On a detour, you drive more or less by faith. You don't know what's coming. You've never traveled the road before, so you're looking for good things, and you must follow the signs. Pay attention to the signs. If you don't, you're going to get lost out there. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if you're not careful, folks, there's some things that will happen to you in your life where you'll lose your faith and you'll not trust that verse and you'll get away from God and you'll get backslidden, you'll get away from God. You'll say, well, it's not worth it serving God. If these are the things that are going to happen in life, it's just not worth it. But listen, folks, all things work together for good. You need to believe that verse and not let your faith be wavering. Detours, see, are not for our pleasure. They're not for our prosperity. They're not for our popularity. But they are for our good. You can have several attitudes about a detour in life. You come to a detour and you can say, oh no, a detour. And you can be mad and it can give you a bad attitude, give you a bad spirit. You can complain through the whole time. You could commit suicide. I mean, you could do anything. You could give up and you could quit. Excuse me. Your attitude is very important in life. Are you going to have a good attitude when things don't go your way? When you're not happy? When you flunk a test and you studied really hard for it? Are you still going to be happy? Can you take a detour and grumble and complain about it all the time? You can. Or you could take a detour and you could look at the good sides of it and be encouraged through it. Nobody understands my situation. This only makes your situation worse when you start complaining about it. You even lose friendship sometimes in the sympathy of others. I had a lady in my church that every time I saw her coming, I thought, oh no, here she comes again. Every time she talked to me, she had to tell me about all of her problems. I don't recall in several years of being her pastor of her ever coming to me and telling me how wonderful things were. I don't recall her ever coming to me and telling me any good things that have happened. Always grumbling, always telling about the negative, never having a positive spirit, never having a positive attitude. You know, when you come to a detour, you could always ignore it. I did that once. I was in Arkansas, and I was going to go soul winning on a soul winning night and whatever, and I went to, I had this address that I wanted to go to, somebody that had visited our church, and I wanted to go visit them, and it was on Old Warren Road. And so I had my soul-winning partner with me, and we went out and started down this road, and all of a sudden, there was a roadblock, and it said detour. And I thought, oh, no, the people I want to see live down that road. They had just oiled the road. It was all oiled. And I thought, I've got to go around that detour. That's the only way I can get to these people. And so I went around the detour and pulled over close to so that at least two wheels would not be on the oil and drove down this road real slow, trying to keep from getting oil all over my car. And I got all the way down the road within about 500 feet of those people's house, and there was a bridge that was out. They had taken the bridge apart. And the people I wanted to see were right over there. But the bridge was out. And I had to drive all the way back down the other side of that oil road and go all the way around in order to get to those people. I ignored the detour, and it was worse than if I'd have paid attention to it. You can accept a detour in life in good cheer and trust God if you want to. You all have probably heard the story of this family that lived in, I think they lived in Chicago, but they were going north to Milwaukee. And on their way to Milwaukee, some steel fell off of a truck that was in front of them, and it came up and went through the bottom of their vehicle, and it exploded the vehicle through their gas tank, and they had about 7 children in the car, and 5 of them were burned to death. One of them was alive when they took him to the hospital, but he died later, and the mom and dad were burned horribly, too. Their face and arms were burned, but they got out of the car, and the police officers came to the scene, and I understand that the dad and the mom of those children that were just burned to death were comforting the police officers because they couldn't handle these children being burned to death. They went to the hospital, and the doctors and the nurses were all broken up about these kids being burned to death, and the mom and dad were comforting the people at the hospital in the emergency room in that situation. The Bible does say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. We need to look at things in terms of eternity. We look at things as in terms of right now. But if you think about eternity and think about what it's going to mean when you stand before God, it'll help you to be more faithful to God through the summer. It'll help you to be more faithful to God on a day-to-day basis. When you say, hey, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm going to be faithful to God so that whenever I stand before Him one day, then perhaps maybe He might look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Someone said, sorrow will last for the night. But when the morning cometh, you'll meet both your loved ones and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you traveling the detour of loneliness in life? No close friends? Some of you girls are asking yourself, will I ever find that knight in shining armor? Will I ever find the one that you have set aside for me? Will he ever find me? Lord, am I ever going to get married? Some of you may be wondering that. Some of you guys may think, is there any girl that's going to be interested in me in life? Your loved ones are far away. You're lonely. People don't understand you. Sometimes Christians who have strong convictions about things often have to stand alone by themselves. Many, many times I've preached messages to my people and wondered if anybody in the church was still my friend after I preached the message. Paul said, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. It's human to stand with the crowd, but it's divine to be willing to stand alone if you have to. You don't know when that'll be. It might be sooner than you think. You may not have to wait until you're 69 years old to stand alone. You may have to do it this year, this week. Standing alone for the right thing is a godly thing to do. It's manlike to follow people, but it's godlike to follow principle. Follow principle. Do right. Do right if the stars fall. Do right. Truth has been out of fashion since man changed his robe of light for a garment of faded leaves. Remember, you have the promise of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. He says, I'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. No man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. My Father which gave you to me is greater than all. He also says, lo, I am with you always, even until to the end of the world. He's with you. God is with you. He'll never leave you as orphans. Detours sometimes the detour is illness, sometimes it's affliction, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Are you on the detour of disappointment? Maybe you're disappointed in others. Maybe someone has let you down. Maybe a disappointment and a failure of your plans. You were planned to graduate in 4 years. And now you think, uh-oh, it's going to take 5. Maybe you've had a failure in marriage. Maybe your failure is in children. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself and how you've been acting and how you've been doing. there's a constant battle that to keep you from getting cynical and bitter in the face of trouble. Keep trusting God in the face of difficulty and trouble. Troubles come. Everybody's going to have trouble. As I mentioned yesterday, that everyone here has difficulties and problems. You have problems. And when I'm disappointed in myself, or I'm disappointed in others, you know what it does? It draws me to my knees, and it makes me trust in God more. And that's what we need to do. Go to the Lord whenever you have a difficulty and problem. God is the one that never fails His children. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know that He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all will make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He maketh no mistake. God has a plan for your life. And it may have some detours on it that you're not ready for. But you need to be ready to take those detours and trust God through them. A detour may come this summer for some of you. But you're going to have them in life. Get your faith strong now so that you can handle the detour when it comes. Could we have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed? Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that You would meet our spiritual needs here at Fairhaven today. Lord, these students, they're all young, but they're going to have some problems in life, and they need Your help. I pray, Lord, that You be close to them. Help them to walk with You and talk with You. Help them to depend upon you and trust You. And Lord, whatever You lead them through, help them to know that You don't make any mistakes and that You'll help them through the difficulties of life. I pray, Lord, that You'd meet all of their spiritual needs. We'll be grateful for Your help. Let's all stand while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And as the pianist plays, you need to come to this altar. You need to pray. You need to take care of business with God in some way. You do it. Just say, excuse me, if somebody's in the way, they'd be glad to move. You come as the pianist plays, you come.